I'm sure all of us have stopped at some point and thought about, well, what's so good about Good Friday when something horrific happened to the Son of God? This video hits home especially close to me because my nephew has just undergone chemo treatment. He just finished it yesterday, his last treatment, and I give thanks to God. But like that video says, it's poison in your veins. How can that be something good? But it is good, because it is killing that cancer that has invaded the body. It's written in Mark chapter 15, verse 22 to 24. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it, and they crucified him. There's no question about the brutality of that day of what Jesus endured. We read about it earlier in the Gospel of Mark. Think about everything the Son of God endured. A brutal Roman scourging. I'm sure many of us have seen the movie The Passion of the Christ and the scourging scene on that. It's hard to watch. Christ endured that. The crown of thorns pressed on his head. The spitting, the ridicule, the mocking. The beating, the shame. The burden of carrying a cross and being nailed to that cross, suffering. But we know what was happening that day is something so much more than just that brutality. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Paul tells the church at Corinth that the cross is foolish to those who do not call Jesus Lord. And it may seem foolish to call something so bad good on Good Friday. However, God does some really good work when things look really bad. Jesus carried a heavy burden on that Good Friday. Luke chapter 23, verse 26 says, "As the soldiers led him," that's Jesus, "away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus." The weight of that old rugged cross caused Jesus to collapse on Good Friday. And at that moment, the Roman soldiers grabbed a man named Simon and forced him to carry it. To carry the cross for Jesus. So Simon followed Jesus, carrying his cross up the hill to the place called Golgotha, where Jesus was then crucified on it. Carrying the cross, following Jesus. Simon's act on the way to Golgotha was a living picture of Jesus' call to his disciples. From Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says, "Then he said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me.'" You see, being a Christian is not just a one-time prayer of confession of our sins and the forgiveness of our sins, making Jesus our Lord and Savior. Yes, that's the beginning. But to belong to Jesus, to be his disciple, is a lifelong journey of denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Jesus. What does it mean to deny yourself? It's to fully surrender your life into His hands. To say to the Lord, not my will, but your will be done for my life. To seek that will and to live according to His will. When I was younger, I thought this was the worst thing, that it's going to be boring, it's going to cause me to do things that I don't want to do. But you know what? God created you. God created me. And He knows the deepest desires of our hearts. He knows what will fulfill us. And He loves you. I tell often to young people, when I fully surrender my life to Christ, before that point it was like seeing in black and white. And when I surrendered all to Him, it was like seeing in color. It's like life truly began. But the Christian life is hard. The Bible tells us that we will endure trials and tribulations. It's not going to be easy. Following Jesus is not easy. Jesus tells us that we will be, what's the word I'm looking for? Persecuted, thank you, as He was. And that's what it means to carry our cross. It is a burden at times. It is heavy at times. It is difficult. But we must endure it. While we are called to carry our cross as followers of Jesus, we will not be crucified on it for our sins. This Wednesday morning, I had the pleasure of meeting a homeless lady here at the church when I arrived at work. And she was on the front steps by our fellowship hall, and she was burning paper and cups to try and stay warm. It was a very cold night. She spent it there on the steps of the church, and I invited her in to use the washroom and have a cup of tea. And I asked her, do you know Jesus? Do you know anything about Jesus? What Easter means? And she did know some things. But one thing that she said that really struck me was, she said that I feel like my destiny is to be crucified. You see, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to tell us that we are guilty, that you are not forgiven. But Jesus took care of all of that. The burden Jesus carried was much heavier than just the old rugged cross. He carried our sins. He bore our sins upon Himself. And He fulfilled the work of the cross. He paid the cost for our sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. You see, God pays you for your sins with death. But the good news is, Jesus has paid the price. He has bought you by the price of His blood. And the Bible says, your life no longer belongs to yourself, but to God. For you have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Carrying a cross is difficult. And how do we find strength to bear it at times when it feels so heavy? The answer may be found from the words of Jesus in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Can I hear an amen? Don't miss the beginning of this statement. Jesus says, "Come to me." What do you do when you feel burdened and overwhelmed and tired? Do you go to Jesus? Or do you have some other coping mechanism in your life that you turn to before Christ? We can only begin to grapple with what lays heavy upon us as we come to Him, as we take His yoke, learn from Him, and as we trust Jesus with our burdens. The Bible says in Psalms that we're to cast our burdens on the Lord, and He will sustain you. Jesus endured some serious ridicule and mocking. Mark chapter 15, verses 29 and 31 says, "Those who passed by hurled insults at Him, shaking their heads and saying, 'So, you are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days? Come down from the cross and save yourself.' In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked Him among themselves. 'He saved others,' they said, 'but He can't save Himself.'" Isn't it amazing what these people are saying as they're passing by Jesus on the cross? They don't seem to stop and listen to the one who is dying for them. Of course, they don't understand that. But they simply ridicule that which they don't understand. In the same way, we have those people in our lives who ridicule us. They don't take time to hear us out, perhaps, or try to understand us. They simply ridicule us. And we see that happening all over the world against the Christian church as well. And it does hurt. The ridicule is real. And there's nothing good about being ridiculed, right? Have you ever thought about the very words that were used when they shouted and ridiculed Jesus? And they don't understand the remarkable act unfolding in the midst of these insults when they say, "In 3 days, save yourself, save others. Can't save Himself, just wait. God has a plan on how to redeem ridicule." It's not easy to understand, but it is an opportunity for God to take something bad and make something good out of it. Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 to 45 says, "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Love your enemies? But that's what Jesus did. He loved and He forgave. What did Jesus say as He was being crucified? Do you guys remember? Exactly. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Isn't that amazing? The love and the forgiveness of our Savior? How can we be so forgiving? First of all, Jesus requires it. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. These aren't just suggestions. These are commands of our Lord and Savior. Then there's this. Heeding Jesus' commands to love and forgive is not only good for our soul, it's actually good for our health. The Mayo Clinic regularly acknowledges one of the top clinical organizations, says this about forgiveness. "Letting go of grudges and bitterness can make way for improved health. Forgiveness can lead to healthier relationships and improved mental health. Less anxiety, stress, hostility, and fewer symptoms of depression. Lower blood pressure and a stronger immune system. Improved heart health and self-esteem." This was published in November 22nd of 2022. So what should we do when we find ourselves ridiculed or mistreated. It may be as easy or as difficult as this, what it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. One of the keys to watching God take a bad day and make it good is found in trusting him. Another key is not to lean on our own understanding. Let go of what you think your day is supposed to be like and take steps of faith, trusting him to lead you. In this, you can find healing and refreshment. And God also helps us to be obedient to his commandments, which includes forgiving others by putting the Holy Spirit in you. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27 says, I will put my spirit, capital S, meaning Holy Spirit, in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You see, when the Spirit of God is in you, your desires change, and you desire to be obedient to our Lord's commands. And he empowers you to do that. Jesus endured loneliness upon the cross, upon this time of crucifixion. Mark chapter 15, verse 33 to 34 says, at noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Hours have passed while Jesus hung on the cross. And finally, he cries out to his Father, why have you forsaken me? We see in this moment a clear picture of the humanity of Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is fully God, yet fully man, is experiencing loneliness as none had experienced it before. He cries out to God, the very one to whom he will shortly command his life, his spirit into. He says, why have you forsaken me? It's an intense loneliness where God the Father leaves Jesus, his Son, in his moment of need. Why did God forsake Jesus? Because Jesus, who knew no sin, was made into our sin. You see, Jesus took our sin upon himself and suffered and died in our place so that we will have life through him. We too experience loneliness in life. Loneliness is real. In 2 Timothy, we see the Apostle Paul experiencing loneliness. He sits imprisoned in Rome, and his death is likely imminent. And he's feeling the weight of his loneliness when he writes from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 11 and 13. He says, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. You see, Paul needed companionship, not isolation. In the midst of abandonment, he turns to his physical and spiritual needs. And he asks for his cloak to warm his body. And he asks for his friends to provide him with fellowship. And saving the most needed for last, he asks for his scrolls, his scriptures, to bring comfort to his soul. So when loneliness is a literal part of your life, give attention to your physical needs. Seek out trusted fellowship with others. And most importantly, draw near to God, reading His Word. See, one of the tactics of the enemy of our soul is to try to isolate us. And in that moment, it's easier for him to attack us and to destroy our faith. So when you feel lonely, don't allow the enemy to isolate you, to whisper in your ear that, yes, you are alone, God is not with you, or no one cares for you. The Bible says that God will never leave nor forsake you. The Lord your God is with you, and nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. If you know someone who is lonely, reach out to them. Care for them. Go visit them. Good Friday is good because He made it good. Remember that last line at the end of the video? What makes Good Friday good? Jesus. He makes it good. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8 says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That very bad day was quite possibly the most beautiful picture of God's love for you. That is what makes it so good. What better news can there be that God loves you so much that He sent His only Son to die for you so that you can have abundant life? You guys remember what happened when Jesus uttered His last words and took His last breath? Mark 15, verses 37 to 38 says, "And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed His last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." That's a temple, that's a curtain in the temple that separated the holiest of holies from everything else. And that was a thick curtain, says the span of a hand, man's hand, which is about 4 inches. And that was torn in two, meaning that we have access to the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ, to have a relationship with Him, to be in His presence. That sin does not separate us no longer because it has been taken away, removed. And when God the Father looks at us when we're in Jesus Christ, He doesn't see our sin because it's been taken away, and He sees the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. If there's anybody here who feels that they are alone, or they are ridiculed or shamed, or they feel that the burden of life is too heavy, or their illnesses, they have pain in their body, bring it to Christ. He knows about those things. We read about those things. He endured the most extreme ways of those things. And He is our comforter. And in Him we have salvation. In Him we have healing. In Him we have hope and strength for tomorrow. As we go to this communion table, reflect in your heart. Is there something that you need to bring before Jesus? Is there something that you need to bring to the foot of the cross? Is there something that you need to make right with your Savior between you and God? Is there burdens that you need to cast upon Him? Do you need to come to Him? Do you need to learn from Him? Let's reflect on those as we come to the Lord's table. I want to read a passage from when Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples. It's from Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 to 29. And before we read that, can I ask our elders, John and Tony, to come up here to help with communion and to bless the table. Matthew 26, verses 26 to 29. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."